Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only wanna hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we wanna know you more and more. We're hanging on every word.
Welcome to our online service this week. During the prayer times this week, we've been looking at different verses in Psalm 119, and I'd like to read a section of Psalm 119 as we start our service. So Psalm 119, starting at verse 9, says this: "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be blessed. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I proclaim all the judgments from your mouth. I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come again together online. And Lord, I pray this morning that you will be blessed, Father, as we with our lips proclaim your judgments, Lord, in song. So Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you will let us be blessed this time. But Lord, let us also bless you as we worship you and lift your name high. We ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave, would you lead us in some worship, please?
I would like to concentrate on God's love in our worship this morning. And I'm going to read some verses from 1 John 4 to think about while we listen to these songs. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love was made complete amongst us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. We love because he first loved us.
Such love. full of such grace, I will let the walls come down.
Sing. time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain from beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising. I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
Holy, 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 holy
Thank you, Dave, for those choices. I've now asked Chris Adeoke to lead us in prayer this week.
Hallelujah. It is an honour to be asked to lead prayer for today's Sunday service. I want to start with this scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So our first prayer topic is going to be thanking God for who he is. We just adore him and we bless him. Everlasting Father, we lift you up. We join the angels to bow down and worship you. We say, "Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, O God." And we say, "You are worthy of our praise, the glory, the honor, and adoration. Blessed be the Lamb who was slain and that has overcome the enemy for us, O God." We thank you, God, for you are a fruitful God, you are a merciful God. Everlasting Father, we adore you, Lord. All creations adore you and we bless you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next topic is going to be praying for the lonely, the isolated, and the vulnerable, and with those with mental health issues. With this lockdown, many people are feeling it. Yeah, and particularly those who are lonely, the isolated, the vulnerable, and those with mental health issues is coming to the forefront. I stand on Psalm 119, verse 28. It says, "My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." Heavenly Father, we pray for the lonely, we pray for the vulnerable. We pray for those who have got mental health issues, O God. We pray for those who are isolated. May you, Jehovah, strengthen them. We pray for them to experience your presence. We pray for your comfort, O God. Let your banner of love be manifested in their life, Lord. We strengthen them, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray for that strength upon their life that, yes, Lord, they shall experience the tangible presence of your love. May they experience the tangible presence of you, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, because in your presence, O Lord, there is love. In your presence, there is joy. In your presence, there is peace. We pray that they shall experience it that can surpass every human understanding. We thank you for answered prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. The next topic is prayer for the frontline medical personnel and those giving care. And in addition, we pray for all key workers. It's been on news that some of the medical personnel are beginning to have traumatic experiences because of what they've been through and what they've seen. People dying, and it's caused a lot of distress. So we're going to pray that God will strengthen them and protect them. Everlasting Father, we lift up our medical personnel, everybody in the healthcare system into your hand, Lord. We pray for your presence. We pray that you, Jehovah, will strengthen them. Strengthen them, O Lord. Let them experience your tangible presence, Lord. Yes, Lord, we pray for other key personnel, Lord God, that you, Jehovah, shall bless them. We pray for that protection around them, Lord. We pray that you shall build a pillar of cloud like day and then a pillar of fire at night, as you've done for the Israelites, O God. We pray that this, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, they will overcome it, O Lord. We pray for the preservation of lives, O God. May they experience your blessing, O God. Bless them, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray with thanksgiving. Amen. The next one is we will pray for our economy. We're going to pray for businessmen and women, the entrepreneurs. Because now we don't know the economy is going to experience recession, people will be losing jobs and etc. But we're going to pray that based on Job 42, verse 10, it says, "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold." We're going to pray that our businessmen shall experience twofold. Entrepreneurs, everything they've lost, it shall be twofold. And for preservation of employment too, that spirit of creativity. Everlasting Father, yes, Lord, we pray, commit our economy into your hands, Lord. May you, Jehovah, bless the economy of the United Kingdom, Lord. We pray, commit our businessmen our entrepreneurs, oh Lord, into your hands. We pray you shall give them the knowledge and the ideas about what to do to move this economy forward. Through that, oh Lord, jobs will be preserved. We do not know the way, but you, Jehovah, you are all-knowing. We know that you shall make a way where there seems to be no way, just like you did for Job, oh God. We pray for double portion of restoration in everything that they've lost, oh God. And if some of them are having anxiety, oh Lord, we pray that, yes, Lord, you shall minister unto them, oh Lord, and they shall experience peace. May your presence be with them, and may your blessing be upon them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. At this time, we're going to pray for our scientists who are working around the clock to try to get vaccine, because that is all our understanding. That's where the cure is going to be. Heavenly Father, we pray, committing every scientist everywhere working around the clock, oh God, to try to get a vaccine for us, oh God. We pray particularly for those who have the best of intention not to profit out of this, oh Lord, and those who are doing everything ethically. And particularly, I pray for the scientists in Oxford and Imperial College that, Lord, they shall be at the forefront. I pray, committing those who are the human trials, Lord, they shall be favorable news, O Lord. Yes, we shall not ascribe the glory unto any man, but we shall ascribe it unto you, Lord. You shall give the scientific breakthrough to get the exact dose and everything, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, they are doing it just for the sake of your love, O God, just to save the human race. And we pray that you, Jehovah, shall lead them, you shall teach them, you shall direct them as to what to do, O God. We thank you because we know you are more than able to do it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The next one is, we're going to pray for Pastor Brian and his family, the leadership, and their families, including our trustees. We're going to thank God for the gift of life, particularly for Pastor Brian. As we know, he's into IT, so he's been able to put all of these things together for us. So we are very privileged. And then also, we're going to pray that for our leadership, there shall be a unity of purpose. Psalm 133 verse 1-2, it says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. It is like fine oil on the head, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard onto his robes. So we're going to pray that there shall be unity between our leadership. Heavenly Father, we lift up Pastor Brian and his family unto you, O Lord. We pray for your blessing, O Lord. We thank you, O God, for how far you have brought him. And I pray that even this time, O God, you shall cause him to be closer to you. He shall know you as never before. You shall take him to another level in his ministry with you, O God. We pray for the leadership who are supporting him, O God. We pray for that revelation, that knowledge about you to support the work Pastor Brian is doing. And also the trustees with their family. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your protection. We ask for your love. We ask for your joy. We ask for prosperity upon them, O God. May you guard them. We pray for your direction and everything they will do, that there shall be unity of purpose. And like the word says, O God, it shall be like oil flowing from the head of Aaron and unto his robe. And we shall also experience that unity, O God, and it shall be unto your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The next one is, we're going to pray for the unsaved, and particularly also for our children, those that we know, there are people, partners, unsaved, and that they shall all come to the saving knowledge of God. We're going to pray that they shall have an encounter, just like Saul on the way to Damascus. Everlasting Father, we lift up our children before you, O Lord. We pray that, yes, you shall cause them to have an encounter with you, that they shall know you for themselves, O God. And we pray for the rest of people whose partners do not know you. We pray that they shall come to the saving knowledge, because that is your desire, that everyone may know you and worship you. We pray for the unsaved also, that when this lockdown, you shall reveal yourself unto them. We pray that they shall have an encounter like Saul on the way to Damascus. And then they shall also say that all the truth, you are the true God. Because it is that confession, the word of the testimony, and with the lamb of the blood, that's what they will use to overcome the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that because we know you are more than able to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the next one is we're going to pray for the members of Hope Church, particularly. We're going to pray for strength, good health, peace, love. We'll have pray for they shall also experience a good night's sleep in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for every member of Hope Church with their families. We thank you for everyone who is associated with Hope Church. We pray for love. We pray for them to experience your peace. We pray for your joy to abound in their home, O Lord. We pray for the preservation of their lives, O God. None, O God, shall be lost after this lockdown. None, O God, we shall come out unscathed, O God, because it's going to be our protection. When we pray for strength, cause us, O Lord, not to be grow weary, O God. And we pray that we shall get closer to you as never before. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And finally, I'm going to pray for developing countries. On the news, the forecast, it looks grim. They do not have a lot of facilities as we have in the United Kingdom. So I'm going to pray finally for developing countries. Everlasting Father, I lift up India. I lift up the Middle East. I lift up Africa, and particularly my home country, Ghana and Nigeria. I pray for your grace upon them, O God. We pray for that special covering upon them. Yes, Lord, we pray that you shall baffle them, the scientists, oh God, that there shall be no more, there shall not be a high death, oh God. Yes, Lord, we cry out unto you. We depend on you because you are the only one who can save us. Your word says, except you watch over the city, they that labor do labor in vain. We pray for that sort of special grace upon us. Our S Lord, may you, Jehovah, protect us. May you, Jehovah, guard us, O God. Surround us, O God, with your presence, Lord. We draw the bloodline that, yes, Lord, not again, O God, in Jesus' mighty name, not again, O God. And we thank you, O God, particularly for our Western world, O God. The death rates are coming down. And yes, Lord, at the moment, the focus is on Africa, and we lift them up before you that you shall intervene, O God. We pray for divine dimension. Save us, O Lord, unto your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for those prayers. We do pray every night online or via a Zoom meeting. You'd be more than welcome to join us. We normally start at 8 o'clock, although on a Thursday, to allow people to celebrate the NHS, we start at 8:15 in the evening. We're normally only on for about half an hour, so if you'd like to do that and you haven't joined us so far, please get in touch with me and I will make sure that we get you the details so you can get online. I want to thank everybody who responded to my request for helping me out with my project for my fifth year at university. And I'm going to got all responses now, but if you missed out and you'd still like to be part of that survey that I did, then please get in touch with me directly and I'll make sure I get it to you. As I said at the beginning, we've been looking at Psalm 119 and just breaking it down into the alphabetical letters, or the alphabet, the Hebrew letters that it's broken into this week during our prayer time. And it inspired me to think about the word this week as we were reading the Psalm 119. It's very clear. It talks a lot about God's word and how important God's word is for our own well-being. And so I want to look primarily at Psalm 119, verses 103 to 105. So Psalm 119 verses 103 to 105. It's only a short part of the whole of Psalm 119, but it's representative in terms of it talks about God's word a lot. So Psalm 119, 103 to 105 says this: "How sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." And it's for true that God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light to our path. It's a very well-known verse that's often quoted. And Psalm 119, if you read it through, if you get the time, it's really good to read it through. It does talk about God's word a lot on how important God's word is. But it, for me, it's summed up in these three verses. And the psalmist found that God's word was sufficient for them. The psalmist talks in other places in Psalm 119 how important God's word is compared to wealth, how important God's word is compared to worldly riches. God's word for the psalmist was absolutely key. And I think it needs to be key for us today, not only because of the COVID-19 and the situation we find ourselves in. I think that's something where it does need to be key. But I think it needs to be key where there are so many people that are having words from God. And it's interesting because often they're not getting the same words, very, very conflicting sometimes. But God's word is true, and God's word is never changing. And so God's word is a useful way to build our spirits, to strengthen us in these difficult times. We are to be people who love God's word. We are called as Christians to love it. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, it's so hard to understand. But that's partly why we do teaching on a Sunday morning, to try and help people understand different parts of it. But if you're struggling with God's word, then the Psalms are a good place to start to read. You can read one a day. There's 150 of them. So there's nearly, well, over 3 months reading, really, right there. So more than 3 months. So just start by reading the Psalms. Or if you're struggling, read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. Because they are great things that build our faith. But the word, as the psalmist says here, it is, in 105, it is a lamp for our feet and it is a light on our path. You know, God doesn't floodlight the whole thing so we can see the future and everything we need to do. He just needs to light enough to show us where to put our feet next. And often when we are struggling with choices or difficulties or fear or anything like that, it's God's word and reading it that we can read something and say, oh, I can apply that to my life. That's what God's word means about being a light to our feet, being a lamp on our path. Sorry, other way around, a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, also declared the Bible to be a book for all seasons. He says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, he says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, in order to be complete, in order to be equipped, we need all of scripture, not just our favourite bits, not just the bits that we find comfortable or the bits that reinforce our beliefs, but all of scripture. And all of scripture is profitable. That's what Paul says in his word, that it is profitable for us in all situations. And we can apply Paul's confidence that he found in the word. We can find that confidence ourselves as we apply the word. And I just want to look at some areas today where we can use the word to give us that confidence Paul talks about, where it is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training, and for righteousness in order to make us complete. You know, we'll never be complete as Christians unless we're reading the word. So the first thing I want to look at is when we're afraid to speak. When we have to do something and God's asked us to say something, often we can be frightened or afraid. And Moses, when he was asked by God to lead the people of Israel, he was afraid to speak. It says this in Exodus 4, where you can read about the Moses's escapades up to Exodus 4, where he was called to deliver Israel. But he just knew that he wasn't a very good speaker. He really struggled with being able to speak. And so he says this to God in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. He says, but Moses replied to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past or recently, or since you've been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish. The Lord said to him, who placed a mouth on humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Yeah, Moses was called to deliver these people, but that meant he was going to speak on behalf of God. And I mean, it's nowhere near the same as Moses, but it's very difficult doing these online things. Those people that have done it, you're not talking to anybody. It's just an empty room. I'm talking to a camera. It's very difficult sometimes to do that. But we are also called as Christians to help people who are caught up in bondage. All the people around us who don't believe in Jesus, they are destined for hell. And we need to be just speaking the word of the Lord on them. But what are we to speak? What are we to say? Well, we can take comfort that if we're speaking and our hearts are tuned to God, we can speak and we can do it as like God says in verse 12 here. Go, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. And we get that through the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 tells us when Jesus, and some of your Bibles might be marked in red with the words of Jesus. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in power, he also gives us the power to be a witness to who God is and what God does. Even if we struggle, even if we are not really sure, we can just say, Lord, we can just shoot one of those arrow prayers up to God and say, God, just give me wisdom to say in this moment. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to respond to this person? And then just allow God to use us by his Holy Spirit. Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 9 wrote this. The Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. You know, when God touches us, when God calls us for an assignment, he will fill our mouths with the words that he wants. You know, when God challenged Moses, he said, who gave man mouth? Who gave the man a mouth? And he says, I will be with you. I will teach you what to say. And so we can ask God in those moments, we can say, God, when we're afraid and we don't know what to say, we can just say, Lord, just help me to say something. Give me wisdom. Help me to say something that will help people in this situation. And just fire that arrow prayer up. And if we've been reading our word, he might bring back some scripture that we've just been meditating on or reading on. And we might just be able to speak that into people's lives. And that might give them encouragement and hope in the situation. What about when we're feeling weak? Isaiah wrote this when he was feeling weak in Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary, and there is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. Do you know, God is the one, when we have trust in him, who will renew our strength. Often life's burdens and the things that go on in life, they have this ability just to drain energy from us, to drain life from us. How do we get that? How do we get recharged? How do we get re-energized? Well, we trust in the Lord and we renew our strength, and we do that by reading his word. That's how we recharge. It's like plugging in that battery charger and just reading his word and just saying, Lord. And he says here that those who wait upon the Lord, those who read his word, those who meditate on it, they will renew their strength. Even the psalmist knew this in 46 in verse 1. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. You know, it doesn't matter where we are on the earth, doesn't matter what we're up to. If there's trouble, God is our refuge and our strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. God is able in times of trouble to come to us. And often it's by his word and perhaps something we've read that day or that morning that will come back to us and will just strengthen our minds and say, oh, this is what God was talking about. Or I'm going to declare this over my situation because I know that God is my help in times of trouble. And it's one of those things that we need to, as Isaiah says, you know, that as we wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength. Renewing our strength is an important thing to do, particularly if we are feeling weary and run down in these times. And what about when we're filled with fear? I mean, realistically, we do get filled with fear sometimes. It's not a lack of faith. It may be just when we're listening to the news, when we're hearing about coronavirus and the lockdown is being lifted and this R value is going up and we know of people that have died, sadly. You know, there is an element of fear that could creep in. So what do we do when we are full of fear? Well, Isaiah 41 tells us, if we look at verse 10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." This is God speaking. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous hand. Be sure that all who are enraged against you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who contend with you will become as nothing and will perish. You will look for those who contend with you, but you will not find them. Those who war against you will become absolutely nothing." See, faith and belief in God can overcome fear. "Do not fear," says God, "for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for he is our God. He strengthens us, he helps us, and he holds on to us with his righteous hand." See, the Bible is the source of faith. If we're struggling and we begin to say, "Lord, I'm beginning to lose my faith. I just don't know whether I can be strong in this situation." It tells us in Romans 10 and verse 17. It says, this is what the Bible says. It says, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Jesus Christ." Faith comes. Faith overcomes fear. Faith comes, the ability to overcome fear, it comes from hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Now, often we, you know, I've been talking about reading it and those kind of things, but sometimes it comes just by hearing it. Sometimes it helps just to put on the Bible application that we have and just let it go ahead and just play, just speak out to us. You can do that if you go to YouVersion or any of the Bible apps that you can get. Most of them will allow the words just to be spoken to you. And often when you are struggling, someone recently wrote to me and said, when we were praying into a situation, and said, you know, it does help to listen to the word of God. Just put it on in the background. You know, often we'll put the radio on, often we'll put the TV on for a bit of noise, which is great. But what if we put on the word of God and just had that playing in the background? Faith comes by hearing. Faith overcomes fear. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Think of all the fear nots that are in the Bible. The Bible's full of fear nots. Jesus said, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." It was the word of God that came against the fear of those situations. So we need to read the promises and the strengths that are given to us. Again, back to that, those verses in Isaiah. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous hand." Now, that's what God says, that he will be with us and he will strengthen us. And we need to hold on to that. And sometimes it might be that the enemy comes near and it's the enemy that's tempting us and it's the enemy that is perhaps causing us to struggle in our faith and where we're walking. And we can take strength from the fact that Paul wrote about temptations. He wrote about temptations in 1 Corinthians 10 and chapter 13. And he wrote this. He says, "No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you will be able to bear it." It's interesting, often, and this is a verse that is often misquoted, but when you have a temptation, God says that And temptation is trying to entice us to do something, trying to get us to do something we know is wrong. And God says the temptation, he will provide a way out. Sometimes that way out is reading your word, it is praying, or is the Holy Spirit, that small voice speaking and just saying, you shouldn't be doing this. You need to turn away. And we make a choice at that point. And he says that this temptation is common to humanity. Jesus Christ came to this earth fully divine, but also fully human. He knows what temptation is like. He knows some of those things that we struggle with in our lives. In fact, we also know that Jesus had a time in the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and he was tempted. In fact, the passage in Matthew 4 is called the temptation of Jesus. And all three times that's recorded that he was tempted by the devil, all three times Jesus responded with the word of God. So the devil sometimes quoted the word of God, but he twisted the scripture around and it wasn't really what that scripture was saying. Whereas Jesus, as fully divine, would come in and he would say, this is what the word of God actually says. And when he says it, it just crushed the argument of the enemy instantly at that point. You see, Jesus overcomes the tempter by scripture. And sometimes when that way out, when that temptation is beginning to overtake us or threatening to overtake us, it's the word of God that comes that we can quote in that situation that will provide us that way out. He said temptations are limited to what we can overcome. Now, we're all sinners. None of us are ever going to be able to get away from sin on this earth. When we get to heaven, we get new bodies, we'll be redeemed, we will be totally free of all sickness and disease and sin and everything like that. But while on this earth, there are temptations all around. And the enemy knows which buttons to push for you and he knows which buttons to push for me. My buttons are different to your buttons, but the enemy knows. But God says that no temptation will overcome you that you cannot bear, and he will provide the way out. And the way out, one of those ways out, is the word of God. So get into the word of God. Get into reading it. Don't just read your favourite bits, because that will kind of tend to sort of push us into a little corner and say, well, I know these bits. No, read the word of God. Proverbs, what a great book of the Bible. My favourite Old Testament book. Full of life-giving words that often you can just quote in situations and people don't realise that they're scripture because they just sound so wise. The Psalms. You'll find a psalm for every situation you find yourself in. So read the Psalms. You never know. You might just in your mind just think, oh, I know there's a psalm that talks about this situation. And you can go back and read it. The Word of God helps us overcome the temptations that we find ourselves in. As Paul said, temptation is common to humanity, but we can overcome, just as Jesus overcome. So in conclusion, God meets us where we are. And we find out where we are by reading the Bible. James says it's like a mirror. When we read the Bible, we should be looking at it and say, how can this impact my life? What is it about what I'm reading that is challenging me today? What is it about I'm reading today that God wants to talk to me about and change something in my life? What can I draw from this bit of scripture and apply in my life today? You know, it's a good opportunity when you start reading just to say, Lord, I'm going to read your word. Would you speak into the situations I face today? And would you speak into the situations that I'm already facing and are struggling with through your word? And then read his word. And the chances are, not chances, because I don't believe in chance, but God will speak to us and he will give us a word that we can perhaps draw on and just say, right, that's what I'm going to just focus on today. Meditate on it. Meditation means just going over it in your head, going over it and just sort of like breathing the life out of it, just thinking, Lord, what are you saying here? What's going on in this situation? And thinking about it, perhaps note it down on your phone or something, and every so often, maybe at lunchtime, just read it again. Just read that verse or read those verses and just say, Lord, help me in this. Strengthen me through these verses, I pray. See, the Bible changes us from where we are to what we need to be. It's through God's word. Don't ask me how. By his Holy Spirit, there is power when you read the word of God. You know, I used to evangelize to people. I used to, you know, challenge them, and I used to preach at them, and I used to, you know, ram the Bible down their throat and tell them I'd respond and I'd argue, and I'd always have an answer, and I'd always be, you know. I've discovered the best way to evangelize, in my opinion, is to give people a copy of the, say, the Gospel of John, and just say, read one chapter a day, but before you read it, just say, God, if you're real, would you speak to me through this word? And then get them to read a chapter, and do that for all the chapters in John, the 21 chapters. After 21 days, people's attitude will change. Why? Because there is power in reading the word of God. And there is more power when people discover things in the word of God for themselves and being told these things. You know, often you can be told something, but when you've read it yourself and you've had that revelation yourself, that really sinks into your being. God has a way through his Holy Spirit of really making his word speak deep into our lives. It's amazing how many people come and say, Pastor, I'm struggling in this area, I'm struggling with this. And you say, well, you know, have you read your word this week? Have you been reading it? I say, well, no, I find it a bit boring, I find it a bit tough. Well, you're going to find life tough then if you're not reading his word. And this is not a condemnation thing. This is one of the things that we should be teaching people, to read your word and read it responsibly. Things like help books where you have just a scripture and then you have a whole page of text that someone thinks about it. They're good, but actually, you know, that's someone else's thoughts on it. Just think about when you read it and you get those thoughts. So maybe we should just, over the next 21 days, maybe a challenge to you, commit yourself to reading one chapter of John a day. And as you read it, just say, Lord, as I read this chapter, would you speak to me through it? And would you strengthen me through it? And would you help me in these situations that I face through the chapter, these chapters of John as I read it? Do it for 21 days. And your life will be different after 21 days. It will. Because God's word is active. You know, God's word is applicable for all seasons of life. Even in the lockdown, God's word is applicable. Even when we're able to go out and meet our friends, God's word is applicable. God's word is always applicable in every area of our lives. Amen. We're going to have one final worship song now. Your love never fails. Thank you for joining us today. I trust that you were really blessed. I will be hosting the online Zoom call after this has finished at 11:45. So grab yourself something to drink, possibly something to eat, and I'll see you online at 11:45. The details will be on the Facebook page and in the WhatsApp group, and you'd be very welcome to join us. But as I say on TV, if you're watching this on catch up from the website, you would have missed that event. I'm very sorry. So anyway, be blessed. Let me just pray, and then we'll see you again online if you're able to make it. Father, we thank you that we have been able to come together today, Lord, to bless your name. Father, I pray that as we go this week, Lord, and the lockdown is slightly lifted, Father, and some people will be out and doing some things, Lord, I pray for your protection upon each one of us. Father, I thank you that your angels do respond to your words. And so, Lord, I pray that you would command your angels to watch over us. Father, bless these precious people. And Lord, we thank you for this time today. We ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed, everybody.